Somebody has now entered the phone, so we're being recorded now. So let's start the class and with the Anna Bakoa. Good evening, and please join me with the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa, Gedula Jemimcha, Tatir Serura, Alephem Yimel Yitat Tzadi, Chaberinat Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamren Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharen Rachame Sikadcha Tamid Gamlen Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. And the two letters of the month are the Resh, which created the constellation of Gemini, Tumim, the twins, and the Zion, which created the planet Mercury, which is also the word in Hebrew for Mercury is the same as the word for planet. It's called Kohav. And Kohav is spelled Kaf Vav Kaf Bet. And it's really, Mercury is a planet that unifies the spiritual with the physical, because the Kaf Vav represents the light of God, the Tetragrammaton 26, and Kaf Bet represents the 22 Hebrew letters, which are the vessels. And it's just a deeper understanding. The word in Hebrew, Kohav, means planet or star, but usually refers to the planets. And it's explaining that the planets have the essence of bringing the metaphysical energy into the physical world, which is what the astrology is all about. We choose the time of our birth so that the astrology will move us around the world into situations that will help us achieve our tikkun. To finish the Anna Bakoach, Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yotav. And the last line we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for learning purposes. Baruch Shem Kibod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. And just as I bring in into the class the Anna Bakoach, because of the power involved in this prayer, which is a 42 letter name of God, the name that was used for creation, we're bringing in a verse from the Zohar, again, to use the Hebrew letters and to use the energy of the Zohar to balance the teaching in the class that we will participate in tonight. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kunenehu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kunenehu. Unzina, the Ilana, the Tov, Vara, Shata, the Yehu, Hulin, the Tahara, the Hulin, the Tuma, Inun, Hachamim, the Damyan, Shabbat Tot, Vayutet, Late Lon, Ella, Ma, the Yachavin, Lon, Inun, Hulin, Kegavna, the Yom Hashabbat, the Late, Le, Ella, Ma, During the period that the tree of knowledge of good and evil dominates, that pertains to the purity and impurity of worldly things. These sages, who are similar to the Shabbatot and holidays, in that they have only what is given to them by the worldly people, are like the Shabbat that has nothing except what was prepared for it during the weekdays. The verse is filled with metaphors. First metaphor, tree of knowledge, good and evil, is the way the world works. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it seems to us that it's not good. In truth, it's always good, but it's hard for us to see it. Torah scholars earn their livelihood from people who are not Torah scholars. Shabbat, we don't cook on Shabbat. So therefore, if you want to eat, you have to prepare the meals in advance during the week. Shabbat, being Malchut, has no light of its own. A metaphor for the world is an illusion because there is light everywhere, but we don't see the light in our physical world. All of this is describing how, well, this particular section of Naso is explaining and giving us prophecies on what will happen. One of the potential happenings as the time of Mashiach. And what this verse is starting to build up to is explaining how the people who study Torah will have a different consequence of their life after Mashiach than the people who don't study Torah. But all of that is a metaphor. Everybody eventually returns to the endless, which means everybody eventually studies the Torah that is appropriate for them to study. Does anybody have any questions? Before we were on recording, we had been asked a question, which I will open the class with, but I'd like to know if anybody in the conference call has a question before I start. So the question we were asked is, what is the difference between Judaism and Kabbalah? And a simple answer to that question is that the Torah is a gift from God, a gift from God to all the people of the world. But it was specifically given to a group of people called the Ivris, the Jewish nation. In order for the Jewish nation to study the Torah, understand the rules that are in the Torah, and spread that knowledge and wisdom to the other peoples of the world. The Torah is a code. The Kabbalah is the revelation of that code, the explanation of the code. Another way of describing it is the idea of body and soul. We each have a soul encased in a body. We wear the body as a garment. The Torah is a body. The Zohar, the Kabbalah, is the soul. It gives us that internal essence. It gives us that wisdom. The Torah has many, many levels. The deepest, most concealed, and most powerful is the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah, just like the Torah, was given to all people. But it was given in a way that it was primarily given to the Jewish nation to help it achieve its goal. Because the job of the Jewish nation is to draw the light of God into the physical world. The job of the other nations is to spread that light around the world. That process has been going on for 3,500 years approximately. Today, we do not know who has a Jewish soul and who does not. We don't know who is participating in drawing the light down and who is participating in spreading the light out. And that's okay. That's part of the plan. Ultimately, everybody returns to the endless, completely fulfilled. And the endless world is that place that we were once. And when I say place, I'm not talking about something physical. That place of endless fulfillment. We were created as a desire to receive in order to reveal the light. The endless world is that place where the light is revealed. The purpose of the physical world is to reveal that light in the physical world. I've used a lot of metaphors in my answers, and the question can be answered. It would take half a lifetime to really get a sense of how to answer that question. Any other questions? Okay. Last week, we completed the study of the four phases. And everybody understands the four phases completely, don't you? But as I've said, everything that we're talking about in these sessions is a metaphor. A metaphor is not the thing. It's a way to help us understand the thing. Kabbalah uses what is referred to as the language of branches, which means everything in the physical world that is given a name exists in the world above the physical world, called Yetzirah, formation. And in that world, using it as an example, a couch does not exist in the form that it is in our world. But the purpose of a couch, that of giving a location for people to sit and be comfortable, that consciousness exists in the world of formation. And above it, that same consciousness exists in the world of emanation, which is the world above formation. And again, in the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation. All three of these worlds have something called a couch. They don't look like couches in those worlds, but their essence is what a couch does, performs, is in our world. So the Kabbalists have used this language of branches. They were using everyday words, couch, formation, crown, spherot. They are using these words, but but we need to understand them in the sense of what is their essence, because we're not describing anything from the physical world. We're describing it from the standpoint of its essence. The four phases means, and I'm going to quickly review that. The four phases means there was a thought within the Creator to be revealed. It's not a desire to be revealed, because there's no desire in the Creator. But there was a thought to be revealed. And at that instant moment, because there's no time in this place of the endless that we are describing, so I have no words to say except cause and effect. The cause is this thought to be revealed. The result, the effect, is a vessel that reveals the light. And that is phase one. Phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four is a process that reveals, that creates a desire to receive. A desire to receive is only in phase four. Phase one, phase two, and phase three we call vessels, but they're truly not vessels. And yet, within each of those vessels, there is a malchut of that vessel. There is a malchut of Keter. There is a malchut of Chachma. There is a malchut of Bina. There is a malchut of Zeranpin. There is a malchut of malchut. And only when we just talk about malchut can we actually say it's a vessel. But malchut of Chokhma is not a true vessel. We're saying it's malchut. We're saying it's a vessel. We're saying that it had something, it lost what it had, and it wants it back. That is a true desire. But its overall frame of reference is something that is not a vessel. Chokhma is phase one. The thought of creation says, I want to be revealed. But it's not even I, because God has no ego. The thought of creation is revelation. What is revelation? In the cartoons, it's the light bulb going off. It's revelation. In our lives, it's a thought. Wow. That is a beautiful sight. Revelation. The effect of revelation is the vessel's creation as a phase one vessel. God, you want to be revealed, I will reveal you. Kids, you want to go to the movies and you need $10 in today's world? Here's $10. I earned $1 million last week. $10 is no problem for me. Oh, I want you to learn how to respect money. What did you do to earn the $10? But that's a different discussion. I'm trying to give you understandings of what is phase one in our physical world, in our lives. I have to go to work. Phase one. I'm going to work to get my paycheck. Do I want to go to work? No, I want to stay home and go back to sleep. But I know if I don't go to work, I don't get a paycheck. So there's a little bit more in that than just phase one. Again, I'm searching and seeking for something that really feels to us like phase one. We've all had experiences, I believe, where someone has come into our life who is very attracted to us, and we're not so attracted to them. Okay, you want to have sex? No problem. It's pleasurable to me. It fulfills me. But if I don't have it, there's no loss. There's no yearning. There's no effort. This is the consciousness of phase one. God, you want to be revealed. You want to be revealed. Okay, I will reveal you. Phase two is a change in the vessel. The light never changes. The revelation concept is referred to in Kabbalah with the language of branches as Or de Chachma, the light of wisdom. That's what's to be revealed. The vessel, by being fulfilled by the light of wisdom, takes on the attribute of the light of wisdom. And the attribute of the light is to share. The vessel's consciousness goes from light, you want to be revealed, okay, to I want to share. That is phase two. In the spiritual world, the only thing that makes a difference that we call separation, something that is not the same as before, the effect from the cause, consciousness is what creates that separation. Phase two is the same vessel, but it's not, because it has a different consciousness. Phase two says, I want to be revealed. And at that instant of I want to be revealed, at that instant, there is a third vessel as the effect of that thought. I want to share. There's a third vessel that is created. That vessel is created as the place where the vessel will share. And the third vessel, the third phase, has a desire for what the vessel can share. The vessel is never the light. Therefore, what the vessel has to share has a consciousness of vessel attached to it, integrated within it. This is what phase three wants, what the vessel can share. But the vessel is sharing something that is less than end of phase one. And therefore it is considered darkness, because it's not Or de Chachma. It's referred to as Or de Chasadim, the light of mercy. And the light of mercy is actually a garment for the light of wisdom. But that garment conceals, veils. And therefore it appears to the vessel that it's less. That is the consciousness of phase three. I want what the vessel has to share. I want Or de Chasadim. I no longer want Or de Chachma. I no longer want light. You want to be revealed? I'll reveal you. No, we have reached a point where the vessel, phase three, is saying, give me what phase two has to give me. That's what I want. What is that? I love to swim till I swim 8,000 miles. Then I'm tired of swimming. My desire is for no longer swimming. If I truly had a desire to swim, it would never diminish. It would never go away. I would always love to swim. But in our world, it comes to an end. If I get overtired, I don't want to swim anymore. I fall out of love, chas v'shalom. I think that the steak isn't as tasty at the end of it than it was at the beginning of it. All these things that come to an end is the consciousness of phase three. I have less, I want less. But that's not what the light's consciousness is. The light wants to give you, share with you, only goodness. If you're satisfied with a dollar when the light wants to give you a billion, what do you think is going to happen? The light will win and you'll eventually get the billion. But you'll be uncomfortable while you're changing your vessel size, growing into that billion-dollar vessel. Oh, I only want $10. Oh, I only want $100. Oh, I only want $1,000. You continually to grow your vessel, but you never reach, in our physical world, infinity. Phase three is the recognition that I have not the same. I don't want the light of Chachma. I want what the vessel has to share with me, what the vessel has veiled of the light of wisdom. It's darkness. Phase four, very simple. I had fulfillment in phase one. I got this great idea I want to share. What a stupid idea. Phase two. Phase three, I want what the light, what the vessel has to share with me. Darkness. Phase four is the consciousness of, I had it, I lost it, I want it back. And nothing will deter me from getting it back. I want. I have a lack, and my life depends upon it. I'm dying of thirst in the desert. That's phase four. There is no fulfillment in phase four. there is no light of its own is the way the Kabbalists describe it. Phase four is in lack. Phase four is Malchut. It's the kingdom. We started with above phase one with something called Keter, the crown. We end with the tenth spherot, Malchut, which is kingdom. Are they related? Absolutely. It's why the Kabbalists give us things that deal with royalty. The words they use are telling us things about things. A crown is something outside of the body. The kingdom is the body itself. The body itself has no light that it does not get from the spiritual worlds. It has no light of its own. It cannot be fulfilled by itself, only by the previous process does it get fulfilled. I want it back, I get it back. That's the fulfillment that returns us to the endless. When the physical world, which is Malchut, is fulfilled, we call that the Messiah, we call that Mashiach. When the physical world is fulfilled completely, without lack in any of its aspects, that is the process to return to the endless. That is the Messiah. In our life, remember, our life in this physical world is part of a chain of lives called reincarnation. Our life, this chain of reincarnated lives, is to achieve that fulfillment. Each of us, as part of the vessel, accepted responsibility to reveal certain aspect of light. Only I can reveal what I accepted to reveal. Only Connie can reveal what Connie has accepted to reveal. Connie cannot reveal the light that I have to reveal. And I cannot accept or reveal the light that Connie has to reveal. We have a different desire. That's why we appear to be two different people. If we had the same desire, we would just be one person. Yes?
The desire is given by the light, or is it our choice?
Light wants to be revealed. The vessel is created. Now we have broken into parts of the vessel. That part of it is our choice. But ultimately, the light creates the vessel, because the light is the cause to reveal itself. Where is it going to reveal itself? Within the vessel. That's the creation. That is referred to as Yeshmiayin, something from nothing. And there is only one creation that is something from nothing. Everything else is just transforming energy into mass, mass into energy, back and forth, cycle after cycle. The one thing that was created that was never existed before was a desire to receive. Within the light, there is no desire to receive. So the light has a desire to receive. I mean, God forbid. The vessel was created as a desire to receive. In our world, we think that I want a steak, and therefore I move and I get the steak. The truth is that the light wants to be revealed. The steak wants to be revealed in my body. And therefore, it draws me to eat it. I go into the furniture store, and I think I've decided to buy this couch. But it's the fulfillment of that couch that I have the desire for. The light is the couch. The fulfillment within the couch is the light. Within the couch is the light. That is the cause, not my desire for this particular color, fabric, design, whatever. We are effects. We think we are tools. And yet, from the standpoint of the light, we are tools to draw and spread the light into the physical world. We are an effect, but from the standpoint of the cause, we are a tool. So we always need to be speaking in terms of relativity. Are we speaking from the standpoint of the cause or from the standpoint of the effect? There are times, relative to another person, I can be a cause, or I can be an effect. The same action with the same person depends on the consciousness. That's why Kabbalah is so complex and yet so simple. No, Malchut is the physical world. Malchut ad infinitum is a physical world, which is finite. It has a limitation. There's something outside of the atmosphere of Earth. So we know it's limited. In the endless world, there is nothing outside of the endless world. There is no end. That's why it's called endless. There is no limitation. There is no finite. It is only infinite. What's the square root of infinite? Infinite. I use that as an example. I'm sorry to bring in the math in that sense, but for me, that's a meaningful way to understand. Infinity has no end. God has no end. God does not die. Chas v'shalom. God was always there. But we were not always there. The vessel was created for the purpose of revealing the light. That's the study of Kabbalah, is understanding why we are in this world, what we are to do in this world, and becoming like the light, so that we can utilize the energy in a constructive way. What is a destructive way of utilizing energy? Obviously, nuclear power is a destructive way of using energy. But what's another destructive way? Bringing a child when the parents don't love each other. What's another way of destructive energy? Buying a couch and then giving it away. This is not balanced use of energy. This is what a child does. He picks up the toy block, drops it, runs over to the toy car, drops it, goes back to the toy block. He's learning. We understand that. We were created as children as an immature vessel who will grow into a completed vessel. That's the Messiah, the revelation of all of the light. And I can't, when my work is done, when I've revealed all the light that I can reveal, I have to wait until you reveal the light that you have to do. Because I'm part of the same vessel that you're part of. And there's no such thing as a separation in the endless. There's only fulfillment. There's desire and fulfillment in unity. Something we don't understand. We move in the physical world because we have a lack. That is phase three. You're hungry, you have a lack of food. You see a beautiful woman, you have a lack of sex. You see a beautiful car, you have a lack of the fulfillment that the car gives you. We have a desire for joy and happiness. That is what we created. That is what is the creation of desire. What is a desire? A desire for joy and happiness, pleasure. Fulfillment is defined as a desire for pleasure. We were created to receive pleasure.
So,
go ahead.
There's no fulfillment, right?
It's a desire to receive without the fulfillment by of its own, but it can achieve fulfillment through actions. I can go cook myself dinner, can't I? I can go out and meet somebody to have sex with. I can. Whatever I'm lacking, whatever I want that I feel a lack, I can move and achieve that. That's the idea of the tool. But am I going to do that in a balanced way or a destructive way? How do I reveal the light? Everything I do has nothing to do with morals and ethics. It has to do with energy flowing, balanced or unbalanced. When I do an action that draws energy in an unbalanced way, we call that sin. It's not moral. It's not about morality. It's about balancing energy. And that's why frequently in these classes I'll use the word energy. I'm speaking about metaphysical energy, not physical energy. But just as we have something called electricity, in Hebrew the word is chashmal, there is chashmal in the spiritual worlds. There is energy in the spiritual worlds. It's that energy is to be revealed in our world. In a balanced way, in a way that the vessel can handle it, not by putting my finger in the socket and getting a shock, but by plugging the air conditioner in and getting cool. Different, balanced techniques. This is the nature. This is the review of the four phases.
Four phases, from Keter to
Malchut. From Keter to Malchut. There are 10 spherot, four phases. The third phase has your oath.
Oh.
The third phase is called Zeron Pin, and it consists of 5 Sfirot and a 6th one called Yesod. The 5 Sfirot are transforming the infinite light into the finite light. And they're doing so by desiring, by wanting what the vessel has to share. They're not asking for the full light. And by so doing, they transform the infinity into finite. But ultimately, when the vessel transforms itself by realizing, hey, I had it all, and I've lost it, I want it back. When the vessel realizes that and changes its consciousness and becomes Malchut, that's the idea of Yesod. Yesod is the channel, the funnel, that gathers all of the spiritual energy and brings it into the physical as a in a balanced way. We pray the Yesod, the channel, the funnel, works in reverse. Our prayers go up to draw that energy down. I have a lack, so I pray for health. I have a lack, Chas V'Shalom, I pray for wealth. I have a lack, Chas V'Shalom, I pray for a wife. I have a lack, I pray for something that I'm lacking, whatever it might be. I'm expressing that. Where does it go? It goes to the spiritual world to draw that fulfillment to me. If I do it in a proper way, it will come balanced. If I do it in a not-so-proper way, I'll end up with a shrew as a wife, God forbid. It's all related to different metaphors describing the system. There is a natural law system in our physical world. Science researches it. Science discovers it. Science works it. Mathematically, physics, chemistry, biology, all following natural law. Natural law is a language of branches. There is that same law at work in the spiritual worlds. You want to know how the spiritual worlds work? You want to know how to bring a miracle into your life? Follow natural law. Well, but miracles aren't natural. It's supernatural. That's what we mean when we say miracle. All you're doing is bringing the supernatural, the spiritual, to be integrated and unified with the physical. It's called restriction. Restriction brings miracles. Restriction is the technique that reveals the light in a balanced way. And as such, we see that as something unnatural. But in truth, it's the way it's supposed to be. You are supposed to be happy. Why aren't you? Because you haven't learned how to receive the pleasure in a balanced way. So you receive it in an unbalanced way. And you make actions that cause chaos. The four phases is really understanding our life. The reason we teach the four phases teach basically 15, 20 classes of different techniques, and we tell you, don't believe a word I say, but please try these techniques. Try these rituals. Try this process. Then the next thing we teach you is the four phases, because to understand how to eliminate chaos from your life, you have to understand the four phases. And you have to learn the four phases at a level, ultimately, to deepest level, you learn the four phases at a level that says, when something happens, I need to know where I am in those four phases. When I look at a tree, where is it? Is this a phase 1 tree, a phase 2 tree, a phase 3 tree, or phase 4 tree? Where is it? You'll learn it as you choose to study. You don't have to. You know everything by going through those first 15, 20 classes. So everything that we teach later on, we teach in that. But we don't put it in a structured way that lets you go to a deeper level. Why? Because you don't have the vessel, you don't have the understanding, you don't have the vocabulary to utilize it in a balanced way. So we teach you, don't believe me, try it, see if it works for yourself. Prove it to yourself. I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. I have already proved to myself that Kabbalah works. Not here to prove it to anybody else. I know that it works. It works for me. It will work for you. That's the process. The more you study, the more you bring the tools into your daily life as a practice, as a ritual, the less chaos you will have. And there are people here, I know if I ask Brenda, she'll start spouting all of the wonderful things. Oh, Fernando, excuse me, I'm not attacking you, but you were here and then you left and now you're back. It's all part of that process. You got what you needed, now you're back to get more, and I understand that. And that's the process. Everybody is coming to Kabbalah eventually, at the level that they are needed to receive it in order to reveal the light that is theirs to reveal. Does that mean that everybody had to study Kabbalah 1,000 years ago? No. But in our generation, people are searching, are hungry for the revelation of light. They feel a lack. And the way to learn how to receive that which they lack is only through the Kabbalah. It's a harsh statement. What about all the other spiritual paths for all of the other people? If it's not for someone, they would never find a class in Kabbalah. There are 350 million people in this country. Maybe 20 million have heard of the word. Maybe 1 million have actually started to use it in their life. The process is shortened when you use Kabbalah. The end result is the same. We are all returning to the endless together. There's no question that's the goal, that's the process, that's what will happen. Mashiach will come. You ask the person on the street, they'll tell you no. I'm not sure. Maybe. It's very clear. This is the process. This is the goal. This is what will happen. now that you know what the future will bring, you never have to ask a question, what is the future going to be? It's like living in Los Angeles. What's the weather tomorrow? The same as it was today. You never have to ask, what's tomorrow's weather going to be? People do, but they don't really need to. It was sunny today. 90% of the time, it's going to be sunny tomorrow. It rained today. 100% of the time, it's not going to rain tomorrow. It's Los Angeles. New York might have a different system, different issue. But ultimately, once you know what the future is, you don't have to know what tomorrow is. The only question that you're really asking is, will tomorrow be a shorter path to the future I described, or a longer path? And that's the free choice that you have. We are all going to the endless. Will it take tomorrow and make it all happen tomorrow? Or will it take a long time? A long time means chaos. A long time means pain and suffering. A long time means people not learning. Or it can happen tomorrow, and that means people choosing to study Kabbalah. There can be no force in spirituality. There can be no coercion in spirituality. I cannot go up to Fernando's son and make him change his ways, which is what Fernando would like to do. I can't, and he can't either. All he can do is teach and give him the choice, and when he chooses the wrong path, bring him back and teach him again. And when he chooses again the wrong path, bring him back and teach him again. How many days does that have to happen? Until he chooses, in his free choice, to not have chaos in his life. The only purpose of chaos is to wake up and say, no more chaos. And the minute you say, no more chaos, and choose to learn how to eliminate chaos, pain and suffering is no longer possible. I have a student in the East Coast who is accused of horrible things to children. Going into a criminal indictment of 19 whatever. She calls me today. It's getting worse, it's getting worse. I said, no, it's not. You are on a spiritual path. This is just an illusion as a test for you. You do not have to go into jail. You want to go into jail? You'll go into jail. You have to do restriction, and it's very, very difficult, this kind of restriction. But you brought yourself to this place which says, it's an illusion. Recognize that it's a test, that it's an illusion. And know that it's just going to go away. Why is it there? It's a test. Why does God test us? To give us more pleasure. Because if you are tested and you pass the test, which he never gives you a test you can't pass, it's a way of rewarding you with more pleasure. It's a way of growing your vessel. Is there another way? Perhaps there is. But that's not the way our world works. Our natural law says cause and effect. you did an action, the boomerang law, and it comes back to you. Did this woman abuse her children? I don't think so. But I wasn't there. I don't know. Ultimately, in a previous lifetime, she did an action that caused this situation to be brought into her life as a wake-up. She has free choice, and she describes it to me. I don't think I'm going to have to go to jail, but if I do, I know I'm there to help somebody in that jail learn about spirituality. So if I need to be there, that's why I will be there. Bottom line, with that attitude, she does not have to go to jail. She doesn't need the pain and suffering. She's on that spiritual path. Four phases. I guess this is the review of the four phases. I was going to go on, but Baruch Hashem, we're out of time again. So, I do want to mention one thing that I reiterated, that I said last week, and I want to reiterate. Thursday night is the holiday of Shavuot. This is the holiday that is the energy of the revelation of the Torah. The purpose of creation is to reveal the light. The purpose of the Torah is to teach the vessel how to receive the light. Tremendous amount of spiritual energy is available Thursday night. In fact, the sage, the Ari, promises us life insurance. The true life insurance. You are guaranteed that if you stay up Thursday night and study a prescribed path, which is done at the Kabbalah places, you are guaranteed by staying up one night and going against your desire for sleep one night, you are guaranteed life insurance for 4 months. I think it's worth the deal. Make it your business to find a place that teaches Thursday night.
What's the name of the holiday?
Shavuot. If you need my help, send me an email. I'll help you find something. But it's truly important to stay up and study that night. Because it's worth the, one night of lack of sleep versus 4 months of a guarantee. When I say no death, life insurance, I mean no chaos in your life. Of course, that's always relative to where you were before the night. So if you had chaos, it will cleanse and become easier. It doesn't just disappear. But there will be no death, there will be no illness, there will be nothing that starts in those 4 months. What a deal. Does anybody have any questions before we hang up? Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen.